Blog Talk Radio.
I will speak life over every situation. I will open the grave with their hearts. There's an army ready to rise. Go to battle to capture the lost. We'll reach all we can till our time goes. Lord, we need you to breathe once again and ignite new fire. Lord, we need you to breathe once again and ignite new fire inside of us. Can these dry bones live? Yes, these bones will live. Can these dry bones live? I will speak life, I will speak life.
Hallelujah, can you hear me?
I don't think the song stopped yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm back. Well, the Lord tried to step in and stop something and discourage, but he can't. He can't, because when he went off, I talked to Abiyah. I asked Abiyah, we just had a teaching here that Yahweh, who is Israel, why are we going through this right now? And not just because the world is talking about it right now because of these two brothers. He put this thought in my mind over 6 weeks, at least 7 weeks ago, the last time I taught on Blog Talk, I said that we may be going through the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is way before that the thought came, and I mentioned that. And just listening to the song as the song came on, because I made a promise. So obviously, I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that I would deliver their children because of their righteousness. And not all of them. No, we know for a fact, not each and every one, because he killed all of them, majority of them in the wilderness for 40 years. But he also spared two out of that generation. And if it's only two, he can start over with that too, and he can build on that too. But we know the children went over, but the old heads went out. They was killed. That old generation, that old man had to die off, and that's what we can learn spiritually from the wilderness trap. That wilderness, that old generation got to die off. That old man has to die off. You cannot enter into the promised land being that old person. You have to be renewed. And not as how they do reborn again in that sense. No. We got to understand that. You can't just say, I'm born again. Nah, and you still doing the same thing. You still living the same way. Still having the same spirit. No, that's not what he's talking about. But if you go through and you look throughout the scriptures, from what we're going to start from, even to Hosea, that's all he talks about. All he talks about is bringing his children back to his bosom. And just like the wilderness experience, you can take that and you can look at the whole scripture, the whole life of the scripture, or the whole life of a believer, and that's what he's doing to Israel. That's what he's doing to Israel. Only that 10%. That 10% going to make it cross. That's it. And only because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not that he wants people to go to the lake of fire. No, he said, I wish no man to perish. We know human nature. Human nature. Ooh, the brother giving a lesson about that now. He's giving a lesson about human nature right now. Take the time and look at these things. Take the time. Whatever you're doing, you can put something in your earbud or something and listen to it, or turn the TV up loud while you're cleaning, while you're doing something throughout the week. Take the time and listen to it. Wealth of knowledge. Wealth of wisdom. You know? Wisdom that we can live by. But just watching human nature, got a chance to watch human nature at its finest this week, coming in and out the hospital. And my brother Yariel, I do not envy his job. He has a very hard job. But that takes a particular person to be able to do his job efficiently the way he do his job. And you can tell Abiyah put that within that brother. Because I was able to stand up there and just watch how people come in, and he's security now. Remember, he is security. His job is to protect you. And they still ignore them. They still got smart with them. They still just show blatantly disrespect to the quote-unquote law. Now, and if something go wrong, as I was witnessing, if he wasn't efficient the way he was and he allowed someone to come in and sneak in, then they going to blame him. Security, where was you at when this disgruntled employee came in and killed everybody? Everybody badge. Policy states that when you come in university hospital, you should have your badge displayed. He don't care if he know you. He don't care if he have a conversation with you. If you come in that door, you're going to abide by the policy if Yariel is standing at that door. Not all security guards are like that, and I watched all of them. I watched the one old man who just, he pick and choose on what laws that he want to keep or what policies in the hospital he want to keep. And all of them do. The majority of them, they can't stand that post because then I heard several security guards say the same thing. I can't stand this post. So when you can't stand something, when you don't like something, you do a half job. You don't do such a good job at it because you already disgruntled and you don't even want to be there. But not Yariel. He was one that said, I do not like this post. But he still did his job. He said, I had a conversation with that brother the other day, and the brother looking at him like, you know me. Hey, hospital policy states that when you come in here, show your badge. Show your and just simple. It's simple. Hey, somebody have a band on their arm. It could be from 5 days ago. And he asked, hey, you got to get a new badge. I don't care if you got one on your arm. You could have been here 5 days ago. But if I let you in and you go do some harm to somebody, that's my negligence. And the brother don't be negligent in his job. Hallelujah for Abiy putting that spirit in that brother. And I sat there and I watched it. I sit back. I observed everything. Everything else. You know what? Guys yelling and fussing. He'd be like, ma'am, you ain't got to yell at me. Sir, you don't have to yell. You don't have to yell. People don't want to do what's right. They don't want to obey. A simple thing is show your ID when you come in. They don't want to do what's right. What's asked of them. And that's human nature at its finest. We don't want to do what's asked of us. So no, all Israel won't be saved because they're human. They're human beings. And they don't want or allow the spirit of Yahweh to take over them and change them. As my brother Shabbat would say, they want the smorgasbord, even that, what they listen to and what they don't listen to. But James said, if you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all, the Torah, the laws, that is. So we're going to talk about Israel. We're going to go back to Genesis, Bereshit 12:1, and we're going to read 1 through 3 on this one. And start with Abraham, because we got to start with the patriarchs. Before we can get into the 12 tribes, we can't go without building. And the history of the family starts right here. You can actually go all the way back to Adam, but we're starting with this part of the history right here. Because we're reading history. And that's one thing that I would want to put at the forefront of our minds. This is history. And it is not like some fictitious history. This is real. This has happened. And that's what we can glean from as being Bible believers. We can hold on to that, that there's evidence, and not just evidence, because a lot of us don't, we shouldn't need evidence. But some of us do. We do need evidence. Some human beings need to be proven that there is a mighty one that exists, right? But what is faith? Believing in those things that is not seen, as Brother Yaakov or Brother James said. You call it. That's faith. You believe these things. And you don't come to just believing it. You come to, I know that Abba Yah exists. I know. I have a personal relationship with him. We talk to one another. I know he exists. I don't believe it. As I can look at my wife and talk to her, or my children and talk to her, I believe and know that I talk to the Most High. I know it. I even know when the enemy, the opponent, is trying to whisper in my ear. Because he give us that discernment too. I even know when the enemy have tripped me up. Because he come back and he give us that discernment too. And I had to put it that way because, yes, sometimes the enemy will trip us up. Don't you jump on his bandwagon or start this walk and thinking that you will not be fooled or deceived by the opponent, by the adversary. You will. In there sometimes and fool you and deceive you. But if you belong to Abba Yah, he will bring it to mind. He will let you know, hey, that's not me talking to you. You're being deceived right now. Now, Yahweh said to Abram, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And we're going to come back to that part right there, that scripture, in another teaching, but not today. But we're going to come back to that third one and just that last part of that. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Abba, let us know something just in this scripture right here alone, that Father Abraham, through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. And no, that's not giving credence to Christianity who believes Father Abraham is dead, or Islam who believes Father Abraham is dead, and all the other ones who jumped on Father Abraham's bandwagon, that's not, it's a specific line of Father Abraham that he's talking about. All the families of the earth will be blessed through him. Bereshit 15, family. We'll move over to 15 because we're just reading history right now. And we're going to go 1 through 7. We're going through the patriarchs. And we're still in Abraham, but I wanted to read something else about Abraham too. After these things, Yahweh's word came to Abraham in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, exceedingly great reward. Abram said, Adonai, Yahweh, what will you give me since I go childless and he who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, behold, you have given no children to me, and behold, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, Yahweh's word came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but he will come out of your own body, will be your heir. Yahweh brought him outside and said, look now toward the sky and count the stars if you are able to count them. He said to Abram, so will your offspring be. He believed in Yahweh, who credited it to him for righteousness. He said to Abram, I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Again, Yahweh said back up to 5 that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars. If you can count the stars, and we just going to go, because we're building on this, to another brother, to Abraham's son, that he gave the same blessing to. But it narrows down when we get to the 12 tribes of Israel. So we're just going back through history. And a lot of y'all may say, well, I heard that before. Stay tuned. That's all I say. Stay tuned. Bereshit 26. Genesis 26. And we're going through 1 through 5. And this is when Abba came through on his promise. He gave Abraham a son, which this is by now, Abraham then had two sons. This would be his second. Ishmael would have been his first son, if you know or understand the story, by the Egyptian woman, Hagar. But Abba told him that you will have a son by the one that you love, Sarah, you know, which gave him a promised seed. And this is the promised seed that Abba gave to Abraham because he promised him a son. Trying to give the backdrop in your own spare time, you can go back through and read it if you haven't been through it. You won't be long tonight, family. We won't be long. We just want to give a brief history of the patriarch, and then we're going to get into Yaakov, the third son. There was a famine in the land, in addition to the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. Yahweh appeared to him and said, "Don't go down into Egypt. Live in the land I will tell you about. Live in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For I will give to you and to your offspring all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I have swore to Abraham, your father." Again, Abba is keeping his promise, his oath. I told Abraham something. Now, whatever I told Abraham is moving on to you. And we're just learning about history. We're learning about how Abba Yah even started dealing or narrowing down to this one nation, Israel. And it started with Abraham. If we can go back further, but we don't have to go back further. We're going to go where he said go. 24 again. "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the sky and will give all these lands to your offspring, and your offspring will all the nations of the earth be blessed." Again, the same promise he said to Abraham, he is saying to the one that he promised to Abraham, his son. So this covenant is moving from generation to generation. Keep that in mind. That covenant moves from generation to generation. "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my requirements, my commandments, my statutes, and my law." Isaac lived in Gerar. We're going to start right there. Again, Abraham obeyed Yahweh's voice. So Abraham is the one who Yahweh gave that promise, and he's going to have a promise seed, and through his seed, all the nations shall be blessed. But he said, through his offspring will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we're going to learn out, we're going to learn why and the importance of Israel. Why Israel, and especially in these last days, why Israel is so important. They are. And if you're doing any type of prophecy study, you have to study who the true children of Israel are. You cannot come to the correct understanding if you do not have the correct children. You will be off. Brought out last week, Brother Ahavel, we have to rethink a lot of the Judeo-Christian thoughts that we have learned about the word of Yahweh. We have been taught by Judeo-Christianity what prophecy is. And we have to relearn all that. But before you learn these prophecies, you got to learn who the true people are. You got to learn who Yahweh said that these prophecies are going to come through. Right? So let's get into another brother. Let's go to Bereshit chapter 28. move over a few chapters, family. Again, like I said, it's not going to be long tonight. We're just going to read some history. We're just reading history. That's it. We're not going into nothing deep, although I saw some things, but we will not go in it tonight. Obviously, just read. And that's hard for me because I just want to tell it. I wish I had that type of power my rabbis had. They know how to cut things off with the quickness. Me, it's like good food, good something good to eat, and you just want to tell it. Hey, did you hear about this? Let me show you. I wish I had that. They got cliffhangers. We've been sitting there just salivating, waiting for the word to come out, and nope. Bereshit 28, starting at 10, family. This is where the story of Yaakov. We're going to start the history of Yaakov. And it's interesting that we're starting the story of Yaakov in 28, Genesis 28, 10, because if you do the backdrop or the background to it, he's afraid of his brother. First, he was just running from his father-in-law. Now he's afraid of his brother. You know, he's trying to leave his brother, and he has a dream. Because this is what this is about. Starting at, we're going to read throughout Genesis 28 all the way through 22. Yaakov went out from Beersheba. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and laid down in the place to sleep. He dreamed, behold, a stairway set up upon the earth, and its top reached to the heaven. Behold, the angels of Yah ascending and descending on it. Behold, Yahweh stood above it. M. Yahweh, one of Abraham, your father, and the mighty one of Isaac. I will give the land whereon you lie to you and to your offspring. Your offspring will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. In your offspring will all the families of the earth be blessed. There we go again. He started with Abraham, now Isaac, now Jacob. Through these men, all the families of the earth will, and we know how, but the journey is the best part of this. We ain't got to tell it. Let's take the journey and get there. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you again into the land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of to you. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I didn't know it. He was afraid and said, is none other than Elohim's house, and this is the gate of heaven. I did say I was just going to read, so I'm sorry. But just think about that. Just think about this last verse, 17. He was afraid and said, how awesome this place is. This is none other than Elohim's house, and this is the gate of heaven. That last clause right there, this is the gate, right? Portal, opening. Right, we're not gonna go into it. It's a gate to heaven, a portal. You know what man trying to say? These black holes. See, they know these little things, but they can't open them. I don't care what CERN doing down there. Ain't no way in the world you go. I don't care how you build 12,000 of them, spread them around the whole planet. You're not going to open with Yahweh shut. You don't have that power. Allah will deceive you in thinking you can reach that. But no, you're not going to do it. You will not do that. You will not open a gate to the heavens in their mind to another dimension. But the question is, and I'm not going into it. I just want to give people food for thought. Why did Abba Yah show Yaakov this? For those who like to study and those who like to ask questions and to have Abba Yah to build them, why did he show Yaakov this? Why did Yaakov say, this got to be where the house of Abba is, house of Yahweh is? Why? Why? We know holy men spake as they were moved. I'm just trying to get you to start thinking. Start allowing that spirit to open up and ask questions, as good old Rabbi used to say. Ask questions. Don't just read over it, but ask questions. I tell you, it's a lot, but we will not go in it tonight. We will not go in it because we will read the history part first. Jacob arose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Beth-El, house of El, right? But the name of the city was Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if Yah will be with me and I will keep and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace and Yahweh will be my Elohim. Then this stone which I have set up for a pillar will be Elohim's house of that you will give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Amen. Now let's read 29, and that will be it, family. So it won't be that long tonight. But it's so much history. It's so much history, but we just want to deal with this part right here. Don't want to combine the lessons. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the children of the east. He looked, and behold, a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying there by it. For out of that well they watered the flock. The stone on the well's mouth was large. There are all the flocks were gathered. They rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again on the well's mouth in its place. Jacob said to them, my relative, where are you from? They said, we are from Haran. He said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? They said, we know him. He said to them, is it well with him? They said, it is well. See, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, it is still the middle of the day, not time to gather the livestock together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. They said, we can't until all the flocks are gathered together. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we will water the sheep. But listen to the wisdom of Jacob, right? Israel are what? They are farmers, they are herdsmen. He was giving them wisdom. It ain't even time right now to water these. While he was yet speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob kissed Rachel and lift up his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. When Laban heard the news of Jacob, the son, he ran to meet Jacob and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things. Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." Jacob stayed with him for a month. Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what will your wages be?" Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes was weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and attractive. And Jacob loved Rachel. "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed to him but a few days for the love he had for her. Now, that's love for a woman right there. That's love. Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. In the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. He went into her. And Laban gave Zilpha, his servant, to his daughter Leah for a servant. In the morning, behold, it was Leah. He said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Didn't I serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not done so in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you will serve with me for 7 more years. Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. He gave him Rachel, his daughter, as a wife. Laban gave Bilhah, his servant, to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. He went in also to Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him 7 more years. Yahweh saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, for Rachel was burned. Leah conceived and bore a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "Because Yahweh has looked at my affliction, for now my husband will love me." Again, we just read in the history of the 12 tribes. And yes, some of y'all have heard it many of times. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Behold, Yahweh heard, I am hated. He has therefore given me this son also." She named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son, said, "Now this time my husband will be joined to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. She conceived again and bore him a son. He said, "This time I will praise Yahweh." Therefore, she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. We're going to finish the thought all the way down to Joseph, and then that will be our last one. We'll be moving over to 30. When Rachel saw that she was bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I will die." Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in Yahweh's place who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" That's a question, though. She said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, that she may bear on my knees, and I also may obtain children by her." And this story right here sounds familiar. Yeah, we know. Same thing Sarah did with Abraham, Father Abraham, right? Same thing. She did the same thing. She told him when Abraham got the promise, go into her handmaid, Hagar. You know, but we know the story, the rest of the story. For those who know, don't know, go back and read it. You will find out that these two situations are similar. She gave him Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Now, at this time, if you've been following the story, Jacob got four wives. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Rachel said, Elohim has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Bilhah, Rachel's servant, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Rachel said, I have wrestled with my sister with mighty wrestling and have prevailed. She named him Naphtali. Amen. Amen. And again, what is this wrestling? Because me and the brother, we talked about it earlier. You know, what is this wrestling? Why she say she wrestled with her sister? Right? And again, the same situation with Hagar and Sarah. The scripture could read the same way. Sarah wrestled with Hagar because Hagar threw that in Sarah's face that she wasn't able to bear children. 30:10. Zilpha, Leah's servant, bore Jacob a son. Leah said, how fortunate. She named him God. Zilpha, Leah's servant, bore Jacob a second son. So by the handmaid, so far, Jacob had four children out of the 12. Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me happy. She named him Asher. Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Leah said, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrake. That's funny right there, right? She basically gave that man away for some grapes, right? You give me that cluster of grapes, I'm going to let him sleep with you tonight. But that's the history. That's our history. Jacob came from the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrake. He lay with her that night. And it seemed like he didn't even argue that. He didn't argue that at all. Elohim listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, Elohim has given me my heir, because I gave my servant to my husband. She named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son and to Yaakov. Leah said, Elohim has endowed me with a good dowry. Now my husband will live with me because I have borne him six sons. She named him Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Elohim remembered Rachel, and Elohim listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived, bore a son, and said, Elohim has taken away my reproach. He named him Joseph, saying, may Yahweh add another son to me. Forgive me, family. I'm looking for the prophet. She has one more son. One more son. And without having to go there, I'll find it for y'all later. But Rachel had another son, which is Benjamin. So that's where the 12 tribes of Israel come from. these four women. We wanted to get those all those names down and just the history of that. Just the history. Now we can move forward in the story and get to the end. One more scripture, family, and we read this every week too. For those who are online and may not read it or may not ever heard it, so we're going to read it again. Again, as my beloved rabbi would say, I have to teach as if somebody don't know. Somebody don't know. And it's the Psalms 147, 19 and 20. He shows his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinance to Israel. He have not done this for just any nation. They do not know his ordinance. Praise Yah. And I really don't like how this reads, because again, when you deal with these translations, they take away the thought of the scriptures. They try to slide little things in like this, but it should read, they and he have not dealt with any other nation. When he dealt with Israel, no other people on the face of the planet can say he have dealt with us like that. People on the face of the planet can say we have his laws, statutes, and judgments. When you deal with some translations, they try to take away the thought behind of what Yahweh said, but they can't. They can't. Because his spirit dwells within us. His spirit dwells within us. And that is the end of my blog talk for tonight, family. Just for out of 12 tribes. We just wanted to deal with the history. And we still got some more history to go to before we can get into what we will call the meat of the lesson. But we're going to deal with this history because in our faith, each and every day. And for some odd reason, Israel is popping up all over the world. Over the world. And for another reason, some odd reason, I'm going to say that Abba Yah has been teaching Beth Yahweh and preparing them for a long time. And we're not going to continue just to teach or preach to the choir. There's a wide world out there that he needs his morays, not just morays, but each and every member at this congregation. Because remember the thought of this congregation. It's going to be a congregation of teachers. If you come here, you are a teacher. And Abba Yah has been preparing us for a long time to talk to these people, to guide these people to him. It is his word. It's him who moves upon mankind to bring him, them, or us to his holy mountain. He said to his son, Yahushua HaMashiach, that I will make you fisher of men. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make a fisher of men. And I'm not going to keep talking tonight, family. I'm not going to keep going through it. I'm going to go back to the opening, to the closing benediction, and I'm going to close out. The thought is, time. Israel needs its leaders. Israel needs to be guided. Because if we allow doctrines like this foolishness that they are the two witnesses, no. I mean, so many foolish doctrines out here now that got to be cut down, torn asunder. And we just don't cut down, as he said in Jeremiah 1:10. We just don't cut down. We just don't tear down. We rebuild. We heal. We heal. We rebuild on that. We show them the true mighty one. Because we know what those two witnesses point to. We know what they point to. The Torah and Yahushua, who is the true mighty one in these last days. Turn people back to my word. Those who keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yahushua. All day long. Keep the commandments and make sure you're on with the one true salvation, Yahushua HaMashiach. There's a lot of foolishness out here in this world. A lot of detours that is not taking people back to the one true mighty one. And he sees that. He sees that. I got to learn to just be, because it's a lot. You want to talk about it. It's a lot to want to give. You can't give it all in one session. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Abba Yah, Toda Abba Yah, for your word tonight. Thank you, Abba Yah, for your history lesson, Father. May we continue to grow, Father. May we continue to come into that nation of Yisrael so we can stand before you once again as our forefathers stood before you at Mount Sinai, Father. May in these days that we continue to purge ourselves, Father, so we'll be worthy to come to your holy mountain, Father, that we continue to get rid of this world, Father, that we choose you, Abba Yah. Choose you and choose the work that you will have before us, Father. Choose to walk in it and to live in it and be a part of it, Father Yah. That we choose to do whatever you will us to do, Father Yah. Abba Yah, I ask for strength for myself, Father. I ask for strength for all the rest of the Morays, Father. I ask for strength for the whole house of that Yahweh, for the whole house of Yisrael, Father, that you continue to strengthen us, Father. And these last days, build within us the faith that we need to have to walk this walk, Father. That when we go to the left, when we go to the right, when we slip and fall, Father, that your right hand uphold us, Father. I ask you, I beseech you, for your strength and your strength only, Father. And Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.
You're my life. You're my source. You're my strength, everything. I call you holy, I call you faithful, I call you righteous, I call you life.